Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Here we go, 5 o'clock hour. You heard it. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, NFL Draft second round is rolling along. We got NBA going on as well. Busy night in the NHL. Bucks and Pacers now. Latest update on this one. 4 minutes left. Tied at 104. That was a 2:30 start our time. So Milwaukee without Giannis again. That'd be impressive if they can move ahead here 2-1. Mark McMillan, I think he's back in town. You're on the road. Where are you, Mark?
I'm back in town, man. We just drove in today. You know, we got a couple of things that we got to take care of here in Las Vegas, but I'm back, man. And I come back and it's raining. What's going on in Las Vegas?
I know. It was freaking pouring today earlier in the day. Well, draft-wise, let's get into some notable stuff happening in the last couple of seconds. One, I know going to day number two, you thought best available in, you know, in terms of players for the second round. One of them just went. Kool-Aid McKinstry, oh, no, that would have been a good Raiders pick, just went 41st to the Saints. Why did you think he was one of the best available?
Because, you know, the style of defense that they play at Alabama, you look at over the last couple of years, they've been putting out first-round draft picks and, as defensive backs, and those guys have been flourishing. You know, just the style of play that they play in Alabama, you know, if you're a corner, you got to be able to play man, you got to be able to be on that island. And you see they go against some of the best receivers in the league. Two of those receivers that they had to guard went first round yesterday from LSU. So, you know, if you can play in the SEC on the corner position, you're pretty good, and you're going to get drafted pretty high. I thought Kool-Aid would probably go yesterday, but he did just get off the board to New Orleans. I saw the Eagles. My Eagles just went and got my guy from Iowa. So we'll see how that pans out. I know I was a little shocked that they took him over Kool-Aid, but, hey, you know, you still got to be able to be productive, be coachable, and see how those guys pan out on the next level because they're not in college anymore.
Well, you got to be happy with the fact, though, that the Eagles' one big weakness was pass defense, and now with their first two selections, they've addressed it. I mean, they got Quinion Mitchell yesterday, who yeah. Saban was raving about and had some weird line about trying to steal him from Toledo, which I think is kind of funny, in the transfer portal. So him and DeJean, you know, at least you're giving yourself some options there. Another familiar name, Kamari Lassiter, just went to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a lot of defensive backs, a lot of wide receivers that's going to go off the board today. You know, the college football is fast break football now, and the NFL has gotten like that as well. But if you can find some good guys on the outside that can stretch the field, obviously you see all the quarterbacks that went off the board. You know, I know a lot of Raider fans were hoping to get Penix Jr., but, you know, the Falcons pulled the plug up under him. But, you know, they went and got Bowers, who I think is one of the best picks in the draft. I know a lot of people saying, you know, you need somebody to throw in the ball, but you just can't pass up on a multi-talented athlete like that young man.
How do you think the Raiders are going to use Brock Bowers? You know, there's a lot of talk about 12 personnel and, you know, being yeah. heavy with two tight ends out there. So what's the best way to use him?
You got to go 12 personnel. Like I said, you drafted Myers high last year. You know, obviously, you know, it's tough going from college to the pros and still being at that level that you played at college. Obviously, Myers was one of the best tight ends in the country last year coming out of Notre Dame. But, you know, it takes a while for those guys to get familiar with the system. You got to learn how to block. You got to be in the trenches. And obviously, you know, they're going to have to spread out Bowers a lot in the slot area. They can move him outside because he's able to go up and, you know, and challenge defensive backs for the ball. He's very athletic. The kid, I've seen the kid do a standing backflip in some of his workout tips. So I'm like, you know, and I've been seeing this kid for 3 years dominate Alabama. So, you know, they got a good pick in this young man.
Mark, with a defensive player not being selected until, I want to say, pick 15 in this NFL draft, does that just show how much of an emphasis offense has become in this league?
Well, you see the Super Bowl. You know, the 49ers and the Chiefs, man, they set the tempo. You got to be able to score points. And if I'm a GM, I'm drafting to beat those type of offenses. I got to find some defensive backs I can cover. You see the Chiefs, the Bills. I don't know what the Bills were doing. They just handed the Chiefs more speed We'll see how that pans out. But when you're a defensive back, man, you got to be able to bite down on that mouthpiece and be able to cover these fast, athletic receivers. And you're seeing the quarterback, receivers, and DBs are going out. And some defensive guys, you know, you got to have good pass rushers. Those guys are going off the board early as well. But it's a fast-paced ball game now, man. So hopefully you see Harbaugh went old school, man. He would have got Alt out of Notre Dame, and then he would have got the receiver as well. So I think his way of branding his football is just smash you in the mouth, just move the ball downfield and control the ball.
Let's keep it in the division because you mentioned the Chiefs getting some more speed with Xavier Worthy.
How
do you think that other teams will be able to match that? Or do you think that that's that Tyreek Hill replacement that they've been missing? Because a lot of people are saying, hey, it's a speed guy. Don't worry. These guys are flash in the pan. But do you think that the Chiefs are going to be the team that, we'll figure it out?
They're going to figure it out. You know, they're back-to-back champions for a reason. And, you know, when you give Patrick Mahomes another weapon, a guy that, you know, they're not looking for this guy just to be, the number one receiver. Obviously, Rice is going through his personal troubles that he'll probably get set down for who knows how many games they're going to give him. But, you know, you still have Kelce. You still have, some really good players on the outside. But when you can get a guy that can run fast as lightning to clear out those zones and clear up more space for Kelce in the middle, you can't pass up on these guys. And then they went and got the young man from Baltimore as well. From Oklahoma years ago. So they got two speed guys out there for the Chiefs. And like I said, man, when you're in the AFC, you got to draft to beat the Chiefs.
Well, let's talk about another team in the AFC West, the Broncos, as they took Bo Nix, quarterback, first round. Do you think that the Broncos are going to be rebuilding now, or do you think that with Sean Payton's offense that maybe they could be win now with their rookie quarterback?
So they're not going to win anything right now. You know, obviously, you know, I wish Bo Nix nothing but the best. Like I said, these guys' dreams are becoming reality, but I don't see Bo Nix stepping in and being that guy that's going to lead the Broncos back to those glory days of winning a lot of games. That franchise is in turmoil. And, you know, they got a lot more holes that they got to fill besides drafting Bo Nix. So I think Bo Nix might be 25. He might be 28 years old by the time he takes a snap.
Mark McMillan, Chef Mark McMillan, is up on Cofield & Company. Heads up to Mon and heads up to Mark. Keep an eye out for the Raiders selection as it comes on TV. Last couple of picks, actually the last pick, my Lord, man, I really wanted the Raiders to take a cornerback, maybe over a tackle here, Mark, but now four of the last five picks have been cornerbacks. So, they let him slip in the first round. You knew there was going to be run in this second round. So we'll see what the Raiders do. The pick will be up here in just a couple of minutes.
Cardinals. I like Matt Milton from Rutgers. You know, a guy, he's a ball hawk. He can go out and get it. Played a lot of man-to-man coverage, played really good in zone coverage as well. So he just went off the board to the Cardinals. So the Cardinals are gearing up because you got to be able to beat the 49ers. You got to be able to challenge with the Seattle Seahawks as well, who has some offensive weapons with Metcalf and Lockett. So these guys are, you got Marvin Harrison, you got an edge rusher from Missouri, Darius Robinson from the Cardinals. So the Cardinals are actually drafting really good right now.
I think the Raiders pick is coming up here in just a second. Wouldn't mind an offensive lineman. That would be good, too. Someone outside, someone who can be versatile. Let's pop up the pick here. Come on.
Whoa. And with the 44th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select guard Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon.
He won the Remington Trophy. All right, there you go. Jackson Powers Johnson, center guard. The line is interesting for the Raiders because they just signed Cody Whitehair, who can be a guard. Andre James, I think they like, but they don't love. So now you got a guy who can play probably all three positions in the middle of the line. What do you think? You like that?
He's very aggressive. He's a mean dude. I watched a lot of Oregon games this year. The young man can really get his hands on you and move things around. And, you know, the Raiders always have to address the O-line. You got to be able to protect those guys. You got all these weapons on the outside. So you got to give either Minshew or Aiden, whoever's going to be calling the signals, not unless somebody gets traded or something crazy happens, they get a valuable quarterback through a miracle. But like I said, the big guy moves guys out of the way. You got to start up front, Steve. You know, that's where it starts at on defense as well. With the defensive line, the Raiders addressed that issue in the offseason as well. So you got to go offense. I know people are like, you need a corner. I'm thinking like, man, we do need a corner because they lost one of the better corners who I thought was in Amik Robbins.
Yep. Speaking of offensive line, the Chargers went with Joe Alt with the fifth pick of the draft. They took Ladd McConkey in the second. They got a little aggressive and traded up. What do you think of Alt?
I love him, man. He's obviously I played against his dad years. Just hearing Reggie White and those guys talk about when we had to play against the Chiefs, man. He was a mean mamma jamma. His son is the same way. He's a mean kid. His demeanor it doesn't show what he puts out there on film, but I think I don't think he gave up a sack. They said in like 2 years. So that was a good pick for them.
I feel like being a mean sports talk radio host should get some of us like lengthy extensions and big raises. That's not the way it works, huh? Ricky Pearsall was picked by the Niners. I know you've worked with him in the past, and he's a guy. I saw him at Arizona State before he transferred down into the SEC. What'd you think? The Niners make a good pick in the first?
You know what? I'm so happy for Ricky, man. I coached his kid when he was in high school back in Arizona. Then he got a scholarship to Arizona State. Didn't work out. Went to go play for Coach Billy Napier down at Florida. I actually got a chance to see Ricky 2 years ago when he played in the Las Vegas Bowl. So I'm just so excited for this young man. He's put in a lot of work, man, just from high school, just in the sand pit when it's 115 degrees in Arizona, and now he goes to the 49ers, which the writing's on the wall. I think Debo might be moved. Obviously, they're going to owe him they owe him a lot of money, so maybe somebody will pick him up. I don't think they're going to trade Brandon Ayuk, but you bring in a guy like Ricky Purcell who can stretch the field. He'll go over the middle. The kid is fast too, so he's got great hands. He fits that 49ers offense. What they're trying to do, get the ball out quick.
Last couple questions. Mark McMillan, former Eagle, former Chief, five, six different teams around the National Football League. I think you can speak to this one because you played on good teams. And that certainly makes your job easier. And good teams, I mean like a good defensive front. You played on some teams that weren't so good up front. What would you tell Terrion Arnold, who I'm sure was hoping to go top 15, went into the 20s, but landed with the Lions, a team with a good defensive front?
Just stay focused. Enjoy the ride. Like I said, he's got some guys in front of him that can really get after the passer. So as a defensive back, man, we love seeing guys get drafted high. Guys that could really rush the passer. It makes our job a lot easier. You saw Branch last year played the nickel spot for Detroit, who was also drafted out of Alabama, who did a fantastic job for the Lions down the stretch, and he's only going to get better with the way he plays the game. And, you just got to go out there and just have fun. He's going to be asked to be on the island, but he's not going to have to cover too long. But like I said, with the Bears, what they did with their offenses and the Packers, showing up late, what they can do on offense, man, that division is going to be tough.
Tomorrow, I know you have your eye on a running back. Do you have a good value running back tomorrow that you know?
Jawar Jordan, man, that's my guy. I coached him freshman and sophomore in high school at Hamilton High School in Arizona. He originally signed with Syracuse and then went on to Louisville. Did really good in the Senior Bowl. He's a fast guy, runs a 4.3. So I'm really excited to see Jawar come off the board, man. It was a kid that, the game was over at halftime when we played him as a freshman. He scored like five touchdowns every first half. So the game used to be over real early. So got a chance to coach him for 2 years in high school, and I'm excited to see that. Another kid is Brendan Rice. He came out of Hamilton High School as well, trained him a couple of times. Our training sessions was legit, man. We had Ricky. You had Brandon Rice, you had Jawar Jordan. You had some really good guys out there that we had opportunity to train. And I'm looking to see Brandon Rice. I'm sure he'll probably come off the board sometime today as well.
Chef Mark McMillan is with us. Are you all caught up on Next Level Chef Season 3?
You know what? I have so much going on, man. I have not been able to catch up on a lot of the segments, man. I have two events that I got coming up in Arizona. One, I'm doing a collaboration with Humble Bistro where we're doing a barbecue short rib pizza and wine pairing. That's going to be pretty cool. And then Hotel Valley Hole in Scottsdale, Arizona, we're doing a grilling and barbecue pool party that's going to last for 3 days. And the money is going to go back to the Ryan's House Hospice Care Center, as well as my Lift Foundation for kids being harassed and bullied. So I've been busy, man. I've been on the jazz, man, just cooking in restaurants.
I'll give you the final six because I bet you you're up to there. Mata, Isaiah, Jordan, Gabby, there's a lady, Christina, from New Jersey, and Zach, the Hawaiian, or he's from Maui. Any one of those impress you a lot?
You know, like I said, it's coming down to the nitty-gritty. It's all about technique now. When you get down to the final six, even the final eight or final four, it's all about technique because, you know, you've cooked enough on the big stage, and, you know, they've thrown everything at these guys this season. And I thought ours was hard, but seeing some of these challenges that they're giving in, these chefs, man, is incredible. So if you make it this far, man, it that's like tipping the hat. You know, that's like me making it through the first day. Everybody's like, man, you're going to. And I probably should have went on the first day, but I got saved by Chef Tucker. But if you can make it past the first day on any cooking show, when you got Gordon Ramsay breathing on your neck, that's a W.
Well, the funny thing is the six that I named, three of the six are social media chefs, kind of like yourself. So they've made it to the final six.
Last year it was the professional chef that was in the final three. Obviously Chef Tucker won. There was Chris, who's a professional chef. And then Pilar, who's actually a personal chef as well, was doing some amazing things. She's actually creating menus for airlines now. Might be on the airplane and your meal might be prepared by Chef Pilar, who was in the top three last year.
Mark, have a great weekend. Glad you got back to Vegas safely, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, appreciate you guys.
There he is, the former Eagle. Mighty Mouse. Mark McMillan. You don't watch that show, do you? Come on, Next Level Chef.
Not since Mark left it, nope.
All right. I fibbed. They're actually down to the final four, so I didn't want to spoil it for him. But now in the final four, it's two social media chefs, a home cook, and one pro. So,
who you got?
This one's pretty wide open. I like the guy, Zach. He's the pro chef, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm getting too caught up in all these cooking shows now. I got back on to Top Chef, and they're in Milwaukee. That one's real good, too.
Can't do the cooking shows.
It's funny. It's borderline absurd. Neither myself or the SO can really cook. And we sit there and slice and dice and pick apart what these people are cooking, and we're like, I can't cook, so who am I? But I also can't play defensive tackle. So I don't know that I should be I don't know that I should be getting after your guy Sweat, who just got drafted by the Titans. You like that pick?
Steve, speaking of liking picks, I can't focus on that pick because you know what pick really upset me?
What pick?
The Raiders taking a center.
All right, let's take a break. Raiders took a center guard, but we'll let Damon have his say. We'll get back to more Brock Bowers, and we'll also, you know, just a couple minutes ago, I saw someone sitting in their home area draft room watching to see where they were selected, and it was clearly a hotel ballroom with, like, big circle tables. You know what? I don't blame them. I would never let anyone see my house because these people on the internet they tear everything apart.
Probably the most interesting trade was the Randy Moss trade. After the draft, the first day of the draft, because we've been trying to trade for Randy Moss for 2 months, literally. Like childbirth. I mean, it's forever.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island.
My God, the McAfee show drooling over one Bill Belichick. Well, great how Belichick did. But before that, we got to grade how the Raiders just did. 44th pick. Do they get a cornerback? Do they get a right tackle? No, instead they go interior offensive line, and they draft a kid out of Oregon, 6'3", 320, a center by trade, was announced as a guard, Jackson Powers Johnson, and already Damon was grumbling at the end of that last block. What's the problem?
He would have been a perfect fit, let's say a few picks earlier, for the Eagles. they said, hey, this is going to be the replacement for Jason Kelce. Maybe that would be that would have been a good pick. But for the Raiders, this is why you're still going to be a mediocre, and again, I don't mean this as a pejorative, team. This is an 8-9 win team. They are picking the best player available. They saw the run of corners that got selected before their pick at 44, and they say, hey, we're going to do the same thing we did in the first round when the guy that we wanted wasn't there. We're going to take the best player available. And I know some people, hey, you take the best player available. You built this team up. But for me right now, this is still the Raiders. They are picking players that, yes, tough, good football players, but they are making the moves that is going to keep this team at 8-9.
Wow. All right. Clip this promo in a couple of weeks made by Damon. Flexing his muscle. Yeah, they had four cornerbacks go off the board right before they picked. Eagles with Cooper DeJean. Saints took Kool-Aid. Lassiter went to the Texans. And then Max Melton went to the Cardinals. And now the Raiders just took Jackson Powers Johnson. Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M, goes to the Packers. First running back taken. Panthers do it. Johnny Brooks. Giants took a safety. Jaguars go DT, and then Chris Jenkins from Michigan, who I got to see up close. Yeah, he's pretty good. Helped lead them to a national title. He goes to the Bengals. So 50th pick is up with the Commanders. It's Commanders, Steelers, Colts, Commanders again. So we heard Belichick on the way back. And you made a proclamation yesterday. You said, hey, once this guy is on shows, he's on the Manning cast, it is all over as far as being a head coach. That's for me to decide about his broadcast potential. You heard him on the way back. He's telling a story about Randy Moss. We'll get to the second half of what turned out to be like a four-minute story. Bill, come on. We'll get that in a second. This was the end of the first round. Belichick's on with McAfee, and he's ready, man. Panthers have just traded into the first round. Let's go, Bill.
Panthers are coming up. I'm just telling you, they're coming up for Leggett.
Okay,
Bill. I had to guess, that's what I think they're doing. Okay. They're coming up for Leggett.
God, they were just giggly all night. Like, he's actually making a draft prediction in Leggett. And guess what? Panthers took Leggett. Just like Dave Canales, who Damon, you now realize, because you said yesterday that this guy's lying to all the prospects. Because Canales said, I tell like 50 guys are going to be the 33rd pick. He told specifically Leggett that he was going to be the 33rd pick. So he had a lie to all of us because Leggett probably wasn't supposed to tell anyone. He did. So hand it to Canales. He was in his lie, he was pretty convincing.
I texted you last night, draft inception, because he told him 33rd pick.
Yep.
But no, I'm going to trade into the first round, give you that extra year, and make you a first round draft pick.
Oh, boy. You're not going to be happy on this one. Commanders just took a cornerback in Mike Sanderstrill, who is a little bit small, but another guy that I got to see up close when UNLV was at Michigan, he was a game changer. So he's with the Commanders. I want to make sure that's right.
Another season of
I could be misreading the graphic there.
Another season of just sniffing the playoffs, just missing them, and they can say, hey, man, we're right there.
They're building. Sandersol did go to the Commanders. All right, a little more Belichick. We'll be the judge of this. All right, here's another part of the Randy Moss story. Like I said, it went 4 minutes. Come on, Bill, speed it up.
I call up Randy. Said, hey, Randy, it's Coach Belichick. Boom. Hangs up the phone. Randy, it's Coach Belichick. Who is this? Who's pranking me? Who is this? Bam. Hangs up the phone. Randy, this is Coach Belichick. We traded for you. What? Is this a joke? This better not be a joke. Who is this? No. This is... All right. Really? I said, yeah, but look, we got to get this done by tomorrow at noon. He goes, all right, what do I need to do? I said, you need to come up, take a physical, and we need to renegotiate your contract. It was by noon? Yeah. I'm in Houston now, but I got a plane. I'll be there.
Nice.
Oh, man.
So he flies, and he's there at 8 o'clock in the morning, comes in and takes the physical, you know, the old.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you're alive.
Okay, you're good. Yeah. Oh. We renegotiate the contract, and we're done at 10 o'clock. And first thing he says to me is, where's the playbook?
Oh, that's awesome, man.
I said, well, right here. I mean, you know, we got it. Let's go. He said, okay, because when I walk out there with the first team with Brady, I got to know all the plays. I can't go out there and make mental errors and screw up. I got to know this offense. And he was smart, man. This guy smart.
Hmm. A good story. Way too long. They'll clean that up. I think, you know how afraid most broadcasters are to actually tell former athletes and coaches, give them some broadcast tips, speed it up. Can I tell you more than anything? I don't know what that story did for you. What do you think of the story?
Thought it was a great story.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that story?
If I was a Raiders fan, I'd be depressed by that story because Randy Moss basically just mailed it in. Kind of both years he played with the Raiders. The last year with the Raiders, he only played 13 games but had 42 catches. And then, you know, you hear him there, he's all inspired to go play with Belichick and Brady. So
Kerry Collins' fault.
I mean, maybe. You can just be a pro and play your ass off, maybe. Or maybe that was by design. Maybe he did it so you get the hell out.
Or maybe if he's not throwing you the ball, what am I doing? We know what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I'm here to go deep, and you're not throwing it deep.
So DeMond says, Bill Belichick officially never going to coach again because he's a TV rock star. Towards the end of the spot with McAfee, former Patriots coach Bill Belichick, now turning on the funnies here as they go through a little bit about Belichick. Wants a job. He doesn't want to lose this gig that he just got, and they're hanging out in Detroit, so he doesn't want to lose it.
Is there any chance I could be on your show during the fall?
Yeah, like Mondays?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
It's a good day.
Because, look, I was in Detroit. I got fired twice in Detroit.
Okay.
In 76, after the season, they fired us. But then they couldn't get Knox to come, so they rehired us. And then fired us in 77. And so I don't want to get fired here tonight and make it a hat trick. We can work that out.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah. Let's see
if we're going to get a physical. Got to fight in, you get a physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah, 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 yeah.
There you go. That's all it is. By the way, the note on the physical was a carryover from the Randy Moss story. Because when he talked about Randy Moss getting a physical, he reached over to someone and put his hand on his head, and he's like, you're good. Just taking the unofficial temperature, and McAfee did it back to Belichick about the physical. So there you go. I won't ruin the bit, but my guess is that they already have a deal set that he'll be on Mondays during the fall. So it was a good debut. He opened his mouth. He was excited. He was energetic. That's all you want. Just, like I said, shorten up the stories a little bit, and we're good to go.
He was so complimentary to everyone who came on the show, guest-wise. Aaron Rodgers talking about how important he is to the game. Sean Payton, what he liked about Bo Nix. He thinks that Bo Nix is the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft.
He wasn't real complimentary to Drake May.
No, not at all. Needs help with his footwork.
Well, that, and I guess I don't know where he got it from. I guess he must have told the Patriots. I guess Drake May mentioned a few times that he could be a Josh Allen type, and Belichick got him for that. He kind of went after him.
I also love when he would pause the film and say, that's as open as they're going to get in the NFL. That really gave me pause about Drake May. It's like, that's as open as they're going to get in the NFL. You can't tuck and run when they're that open in the NFL.
I don't think I agree with you that this is going to be it. That once he's TV-ified, that he's going to be like a Madden, which is not exactly a good comparison. Madden was in his, what was he, early 40s?
Yes.
Maybe even late 30s when he started to move into TV. Amazing that he never took a job. Belichick is 70-plus years old. So
those other teams, I mean, we can look at the Falcons last night and say, you passed on Bill Belichick to do this? I know I did.
Oh, to pick Penix?
Yes. But he's gone, Steve. If you were sitting around, Steve, you only had to come in for one Monday and everything you say, ha ha, Steve, oh, that's Steve, you're done.
I want that gig.
Yes.
You're right.
You don't want to go back to that headache.
I hardly get any laughs the whole week. Freaking whole crew just laughing their asses off. I will go down this path only because We know the man is still aggressive on this front, and his old boss is very aggressive on this front. If you're Belichick and you feel like, you know what, I'm in the prime of my life right now when it comes to women. Okay. We know Belichick is coming out of a relationship with Linda Holiday, super attractive woman, and just great person. He was caught on some sort of house video outside the house, walking bare-chested. You know, he's got that big chest that John Von Tobel loves. He went crazy about.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah, hubba hubba. Yeah, that's a great term. If that were one of his concerns, where does he have more success? As the sort of grumpy-looking, having to work all the time head coach of the whoever. I mean, you're an NFL head coach. You're 1-32. Or being a big TV star.
Is this even a real question? It's being a TV star.
Figured.
You don't have the time when you're coaching, when you've got a game plan for Miami and Tua on a Tuesday. You know what he can do after that Monday hit? When they're showing the rerun at the bar, he can be like, hey, that's me up there.
Right to the bar. In every city, right to the bar. It's a fresh selection.
Does his hit. They're showing the reruns. Man. Oh, that's what I was saying. Oh, Monday Night Football. Oh, man, he's going to be the toast of the town wherever he's at, because who doesn't want to hear him just break down ball? He's going to explain why that team just got blown out or why they just lost, and he's just going to be holding court.
Does Belichick TV guy dare go, because it's a comfy environment, when he's in on Mondays, he's got to go with the sleeveless hoodie and show off the pipes. It's a competition with McAfee, because McAfee's up there all the time with the tee on.
That should definitely be the gimmick.
Yep.
Do you think he's going to lean into being a comedic character, though?
I hope so.
Because he's an entertaining character.
He was
now.
Trying to be comedic there.
But I mean, make himself the joke.
I don't want to get fired. No, it's not a joke. They need to come out. They do a segment or a block. Then they go right over to some sort of little gym area, and they start doing curls. Right? Get the arms looking good for segment number two.
I don't think he's going to come to Indy every Monday.
Touche. But I do think he would have a lot of success there. I'm not saying that the women are lower than any other area, but I think he would do well there.
Also, this is me, Steve. I've got to bring it back to wrestling. I think if he's going to be in studio, I think Pat McAfee may be wrapping up his tour with the WWE, because he's got Monday Night Raw, unless he leaves immediately after the show to whichever city they're in.
Ooh, that's a good point. So Belichick, a big star last night. So was everyone's home when it came to the draftees. I feel like there is so much pressure on these people to set up a good household, make sure there's no loose ends in the background, make sure the couch looks good. If it doesn't, if the kid got drafted in the first round, that couch better be delivered by like Wednesday this week. New couch is on the way. But the other theme of this, let's start with Brock Bowers. Did you see the screenshot of Brock Bowers going to the Raiders and his father's face?
Steve, not only did I see it, someone also texted it into us on the text line.
What was going on? He looked very concerned.
He's just so red. I don't know what – no one else has – that much redness on their face.
The debate has begun. Bowers' dad kind of locked up and looked real serious because he's worried about Brock going to Vegas. Someone else joked that maybe Brock's dad is banned from Vegas. Maybe there's been a history here. He's run amok in Vegas. Pictures can tell 1,000 words, most of them false. So what is it?
I think it's a father who doesn't want his son to go to Vegas. Yeah. More particularly the Raiders, because they are from Napa and are 49er fans.
Well, no. I don't know how much he elaborated on this, but Bowers did say that he had been to practice in Napa.
Well, yeah, you go because that's where they're at. You're going to get an autograph as a kid. You don't care whose autograph it is.
Third thing, aside from the jokes about why his dad kind of looked mad and serious, is he may just have RBF, and I have that in a lot of pictures. the resting bastard face.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, how come you were mad? I wasn't. I actually was having a great time. You look mad. Sorry. Then there was the photo shots of and videos. Let's start with Joe Alt. That was the fifth pick in the draft. Things were just starting off. I mean, we had video audio glitches. We were trying to run things yesterday. I thought you guys could all hear the feed at Stadium Swim. You couldn't. So we played what I thought we were playing the pick twice, but only the second time was when you could hear it. Joe Alt got drafted. 10 seconds later, the camera is on his living room. It goes like 30 seconds, and there's no movement from anyone in the room. I'm like, how mad is he that he just went to the Chargers? And then was that his girlfriend or his sister?
I want to say girlfriend. But also, did you also see how the Cameron had to adjust once he stood up? Because he is just so much of a mountain of a man.
Ridiculous. Did she stand up? I didn't see her stand up. Was she tiny? She's not 6'9". We know that.
She's not 6'9". She wasn't as tiny next to him. So maybe 5'10", 5'11". But mom was super tiny.
Yeah. I watched a lot of the hugs closely. Watched a lot of hugs closely. I felt bad. There was one guy in one shot who had a red shirt on and just a giant gut. And he came in from the side, like real close to the camera. I'm like, oh, dude, you don't know what your stomach looks like. I feel that pain sometimes. I'm like, bad angle. Back it up. But the best, and I still don't know what was happening. If we go back to, there's been a couple of cases where we've seen women, girlfriends who are with draft picks, and they are so exuberant, you start to think, man, they're thinking of themselves that they just hit the freaking jackpot. And little do they know, they're not in the future plans. And even worse, mom doesn't want you to be part of the future plans. Did you see when the offensive lineman from Penn State went to the Jets?
Yeah, Steve, that was the rage. If I'm getting the pronunciation right, Olu Fashanu.
Yeah, Fashanu.
Where he gets drafted, everybody's on the couch, and the girlfriend is outside of mom. Yep. And one of my favorite tweets was, "Mom might be the best blocker in this draft."
Well, we know where he learned how to block.
Because she was not letting the girlfriend get an inch.
It got so desperate, she kept reaching around, and she's like just tapping his knee around the mom. Like, you're not getting near him. She's not going to allow this.
Perfect execution by mom, because
her technique was great.
She might be out of the picture in 6 months. Who knows? New York training camp? Who knows what could happen? No offense. Hopefully everything works out. You know, we all know the Russell Wilson photo.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, when he was drafted, blonde lady with some aggressive teeth, and they got a screenshot of her kind of like looking like a werewolf. And, yeah, she's a distant memory. So enjoy it while you have it.
I also remember on the Dan Patrick show, this is back when I used to listen heavy, and Dan Patrick is telling Russell Wilson, oh, take me through the phone call. And he's saying like the, oh, honey, you know. But I just remember Russell Wilson talking about his then ex-wife and the excitement that she had about being drafted.
Yep.
And now him and Sierra are the face for the perfect couple in Black America. Life comes at you fast.
It does come at you fast. Like I said, enjoy the moment, because it may not last forever. Man, we'll get you an update on the Pacers and the Bucks. That appeared. I wasn't watching it super closely. I just kept hearing roars because there were big shots made. It ends up with Indy making the final big shot. They win it 121-118. We'll tell you what happened there. Clippers-Dallas has started. We'll get back to the NFL draft and give you a full update of the last 8 to 10 picks. And, of course, we do have to mention for a couple minutes the Lakers. What a freaking depressing night last night was.
Cofield & Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Come on, were you able to keep an eye on what was going on with the Pacers and the Bucks? Because it's close to a buzzer beater to send it to overtime. Then there looked like a game tying near buzzer beater at the end of the overtime, and then the Pacers got a winner. I think it was Halliburton on the shot. So
it
Pacers
was...
win, but do not cover.
No, they did not cover, but yes. The Pacers did win off of Tyrese Halliburton getting... catching it, getting into the three-point line, shooting a floater over the dog himself, Pat Bev. And I just want to share this tweet that I saw that it said, that's why you get Pat Bev, so he can tell the story of that shot on his podcast. Because Halliburton just blows right past him, pulls up for a floater, gets fouled, and won, and knocks down the free throw as well. 121-118 victory for the Pacers.
We'll have time next week to do this with DeMond and Cofield and company.
What are we doing?
What are you thinking about the Lakers right now?
Fire everyone, coaches, front office, complete teardown, and get rid of everyone who is not named Anthony Davis or LeBron James.
I don't mind Darvin Ham going bye-bye, but on the front office.
What Rob Pelinka done?
Well, here's the thing. Who has final say on the roster? Because I don't really ever know who actually has final say on a LeBron team.
Everybody always wants to pull this with LeBron teams. It's LeBron signing all the clutch guys. It's LeBron's got final say on the roster. Well, maybe these GMs need to grow a sack and actually craft a good team. I think it's so easy to just say, hey, LeBron team isn't doing well. Well, it's LeBron's fault. I don't think LeBron went out there and said, you know who I really need? I can't live without Spencer Dinwiddie on this team. And we can say we'll never know that, but I think it's just too easy to say, well, LeBron's the one who's really pulling all the strings.
I just don't understand in a conference where you have to go through the Nuggets at some point, that you're not stout defensively with bigs who at least can slow down a little bit, make it a little tougher for Jokic. And there's rarely a time I watch J.R. Smith 2. Who is D'Angelo Russell. And I'm like, wow, they really need this guy. Did you see the end of the game? Towards the end of the game, the final 2 minutes last night? And what he was doing on the bench?
Not joining the huddle at all.
Yes. And it looked like he was having a snack, and he was on his phone. Is it the biggest deal ever? No. But from an optic standpoint, with a guy who's wildly inconsistent and immature, bro, you got to know better. But here's the thing, and I don't like really saying this about any athletes, that they make so much money that they don't really give a damn. I you know what? In his case, I don't know that he does. And also, I didn't like LeBron after the game when he starts talking about, well, you know, it's only basketball.
And you got Joel Embiid on the other end of the spectrum,
playing
with Bell's palsy.
I am blown away by that. I feel like that can be a really debilitating malady, right? Well, Jim Ross had it for a long time, didn't he?
Yes, took him off the broadcast table.
Yep. Now, can you play basketball with it? Clearly you can, because Embiid had 50. But, yes, he's playing through the left side of his face? It looked like he was talking out of the right side of his mouth yesterday in the press conference. But he's playing with part of his face locked up. And then we've got the flip side of guys on a cell phone at the end of the game as they're on the verge of being swept out of a series. Awesome. Great message.
But the reports are he's not picking up his player option, D'Angelo Russell, and he'll be looking to go somewhere else in free agency.
Sweet. Enjoy it. Good luck with that. Real quick in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Did you see that Lamont Butler from San Diego State is going to Kentucky? I tweeted something out to the effect, San Diego State's become a really good place to develop players so they can move on to Blue Bloods. Good choice by Lamont Butler. I got a like from Lamont Butler Sr. I don't know if it's a real Lamont Butler Sr., but I was actually trying to take a shot at SDSU, but it is a really smart move by Lamont Butler and an even smarter move by Mark Pope, because he comes into Kentucky where last year they're like, man, Cal and this team, they don't play defense. They got Lamont Butler, they're going to play defense. That's a great pickup, and good for Lamont Butler. He's got a chance to win a national championship, and 1 year in front of that fan base is going to be awesome.
Real quick, Steve, it's like when Danny Sprinkle's mom liked our tweet. No one's pretending to be Lamont Butler Sr. I think it's him.
All right, I got to close the show out. I never do this, but I got to close it out this way. What a bummer! DeMond is leaving us. He is moving on. He has quit. At Lotus Broadcasting, I got to say, this week, dude, you were awesome. I think I would have just laid down knowing it was my last week. You were great. Damon on the mic. This guy's got a bright future. Behind the scenes, got a bright future. Did everything we needed him to do behind the scenes. Pleasant mood every day. I love that. Fired up to be part of the show. Damon, thank you so much. Good luck, man.
Thank you, Steve. Wasn't expecting that.